Hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another of these series where I bring a guest into the studios of WOL to run live a segment from my Louisville Magazine monthly column, Smiley's Picks. And my guest today is Jürgen Tossmann, who's the producing director at Bunbury Theatre. And we're looking forward, in both the chronological and the spiritual sense, to a run of Blythe Spirit at Bunbury Theatre, opening October 14. And running through the month. What made you pick Blythe Spirit?
Well, it was interesting. I was always wanted to do Noel Coward, and this is my 21st season with Bunbury. So I've never done a Noel Coward. It's the 70th anniversary of Blythe Spirit. There was a revival on Broadway 2 years ago, and I thought it was the perfect time to do it.
He fell out of favor, as most playwrights do, don't they? I mean, and composers, for that matter, they have a great vogue during their lifetime, and then there's a dip. Right. And the great ones tend to come back a generation after their death. Coward has had a fair track record, hasn't he?
I think he has, yeah. And Anne Bogart did a couple of Coward pieces, modernized the pieces when she was at Actors Theatre. And I think the writing is incredible. It's what I love about Coward. The language is spot on, and it's a joy to listen to it.
An extraordinary ear for dialogue.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, writing that jumps off the page at you.
Right. And this piece, you know, it's reported that he wrote this in 5 days. And I can believe that. Actually, I can believe that. I think writing myself at times, I know that a spark of creativity can happen, and pretty soon, before you know it, you've written several pages, if not a whole act of dialogue. And at times, I think he might have used a good editor for this play.
Mm-hmm.
I think it plays well, but it really is dependent on the style of the piece, the tempo, the timing, the rhythm, and the pace of the piece.
Yes, I think it's axiomatic, though, isn't it, that every great writer needs a great editor.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, whatever you're writing, whether you're writing a piece of blurb for the program, the chances are you'll run off at the mouth and somebody needs to come through and delete at least a third of it. At least, I know I do. You touch upon the style, because I think this is so important. I find that that particular brand of Anglophone comedy, because it's not just English, mm-hmm. Anglophone comedy, let's say, from kind of W.S. Gilbert and his libretti for the operas, through Oscar Wilde, through Coward, and indeed continuing to this day with Stoppard, and mm-hmm. There are others whose names escape me, of course. The key to it is understanding the period and understanding the style, because the temptation is to make yourself funny.
Absolutely, and you cannot make yourself funny in this play. You must take it seriously. You must understand how the style of the piece, which is a very aristocratic kind of upper crest kind of tight and tie and very formal. And if you understand that, and I always point to Margaret Rutherford. I say it's a Margaret Rutherford piece. And if you understand that and have an inherent ability to understand that, it will become very organic for you as an actor. And it's my job as a director to make sure actors stay on task and they don't veer off and try to do anything other than be real in this piece.
And the chances are, the moment they think they're being funny, they've lost the audience.
Absolutely.
They've ceased to be funny. Because basically, comedy is about very serious people doing very stupid things.
That's right.
And if you make the person doing it intrinsically stupid, then you've lost half the contrast on which comedy depends.
Totally. I mean, that's the old adage is comedy is a serious business, and that's absolutely true.
And Blythe Spirit, of course, was hugely popular, wasn't it?
It was.
Had revivals as recently as, did you just say 2 years ago on Broadway, or
uh-huh.
a couple of years ago on Broadway, and for many, many years before that. But for a younger audience, it's almost, I mean, it might as well be set in Mars, might it not, with this very rarefied, you know, upper class thing. Mm-hmm. Is it necessary to dumb it down in any way
No.
for contemporary audiences?
I don't think so. The attention span of audiences today is very short. This is a three-act play, and it's our responsibility to try to tell the story in the most concise way, to understand that it is dependent on pace and timing, and that we tell the story in the most direct way to keep audiences engaged in the piece. I'm looking at, you know, perhaps not having a second intermission, because audiences tend to, after a first intermission, they tend to veer off somewhere.
Yes.
It's unfortunate that our attention spans have gotten so short, but it's easy to understand when you have a remote control that you can flip from one station to the next and not have to be engaged. And so it is, it's a challenge for us. And I think we're up for that challenge.
I think you are too. But there are two things at work here. On the one hand, we say that the average attention span is about 7 seconds or something maximum. On the other hand, novels get longer and longer. I mean, look at this interminable Twilight series. My own grandchildren devoured thousands of pages of Harry Potter over a period of years, and movies just get longer and longer. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you have this attention span of a flea, and on the other hand, I think there's a real appetite for things having a pace, and that pace doesn't have to be Rossinian, if I may borrow an operatic expression.
That's true. I think you're absolutely right.
Do you find with a piece like Card, it's the weight of the material or the weight of the plot, or what is it that will hold their attention for three acts?
I think it's the relationships.
Among the characters.
Among the characters. Indeed. I think they're very familiar. Whether you're young or old, they're very familiar. They are people who are engaged in love and exploits, and they bicker, they engage, they duel, and I think that's very familiar for us.
I think, if I'm correct, the play dates from sort of the early 1940s, which, of course, was a time of tremendous crisis. I mean, Britain stood alone, as the phrase had it. It was the time when, before America entered the war, when Britain looked as if it was about to be submerged by the Nazis. France had fallen. Do you think this very lightheartedness of this devil-may-care attitude, which is such a characteristic, I think, of Coward's quick writing, do you think that has an appeal in these troubled times?
Oh, I hope so. You know, I hope it does. It, I think it was a good escape for the people at that time. There was a little bit of an outcry at that time because Coward was dealing with death and ghosts and the afterlife, but I think that was short-lived criticism of the piece, because I think people came to see it as what it was. It was just an escapist piece. Get away from all the doom and gloom that's around us, and let's have a little bit of fun.
Yes.
And I think that's where we are now. I think it's why a lot of companies are gravitating towards comedies, because we are in a situation where fear permeates our environment these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are looking for a little bit of escape, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. And this is billed as an improbable farce, and I think that's exactly what it is.
What is a farce?
Oh, it's something that's just totally unbelievable.
Fantasy
in any stretch of the imagination, it wouldn't happen or couldn't happen.
There was, however, a very strong strain in British social life in the early decades of the century towards, mediums and seances and all that sort of thing. You know, Conan Doyle, who created... Huckleberry Finn again, who created Sherlock Holmes. He engaged a séance and used to have cheerful chats with his late mother, things like that. So perhaps for the audience of Coward's day, the idea of conjuring up a ghost and the séance and all that sort of stuff was closer to home than it is in our more materialistic and literal age.
I think perhaps. And Madame Arcadi is a brilliantly written role for an actress. You know, Angela Lansbury played the role on Broadway, and our own Marianne Johnson plays the role here. Now, interesting, because both Angela Lansbury and Marianne are 83 years old, and it's a wonderful, wonderful piece. It's something that Marianne has always wanted to do, and if our audiences haven't seen Marianne on stage, you need to come see this brilliant actress.
Well, that's great. It's good to see you're encouraging your good young artist program. The number for tickets is 585-5306, 585-5306, and Bly Spirit runs at Bunbury Theatre beginning October 14 through the end of the month. Jürgen Tospin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Thompson.